Logan, tell everybody a joke.
You want a joke?
I do.
All right. Two snares and a cymbal fall off a cliff.
You got to laugh out of me, Logan, all right? Things are looking up. Especially after this rip. Good rip. Short rip. Late rip. But always a good one. If you guys are liking this show, make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. If you're supporting via Podcasting 2.0 and the Value for Value model, thank you. We appreciate it. This was the most boost we ever got last week's episode was. If we could top it this week, that would be incredible. If you listen on YouTube, you're not going to hear this, but maybe you're listening to it on the podcast app for some reason. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, tftc.tv. This rip was brought to you by our good friends down the hall at Unchained Capital. They're here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody model. They have a vault. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. This eliminates single points of failure because you don't hold your Bitcoin on an exchange like an idiot. A lot of idiots found out the hard way last year. Did you hear of FTX, BlockFi, Celsius, Gemini Earn? Rugged. Because they were depending on single points of failure and those third-party custodians. The Unchained Vault is going to eliminate those. Again, you hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. Their concierge team is going to get you set up. You go to unchained.com/concierge. Set up a consultation with them. They'll get you comfortable with multisig, get you comfortable with the vaults. They'll get hardware wallets in your hand. They'll help you set those up, back them up. Obviously, they won't be looking at your seed phrases, but they'll walk you through the process of setting that up, help you figure out a plan to geographically disperse the wallets and the backups so that you don't have all that information in one spot. That's a single point of failure. They'll help you distribute that to eliminate that single point of failure. Then you'll set up your vault. Since you have 2 keys, you'll always be able to move your Bitcoin. If you're ever in a pinch, you need Unchained to be the second in the 2 or 3 multisig quorum. They are there for you. Go to unchained.com/concierge. Use the code TFTC for $50 off the concierge onboarding. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make this thing right here. It's the Block Lock. It's pretty dope. Currently raised the price of Bitcoin $22,953. It's a sick piece of hardware, but it's just a nice thing to have in the studio to look at data that is pertinent to the Bitcoin. It's not pertinent. It has to do with the Bitcoin network at any given point in time. They also make the most secure hardware wallet on the market, which is the MK4. It's got 2 secure elements. It allows you to create private public key pairs in an air-gapped offline fashion. It allows you to easily add entropy via dice rolls to your private key, so you don't even have to trust that you're getting random entropy from the secure elements. You can add it yourself. It is NFC enabled. And again, it's air gapped. You do everything offline. So you don't connect to an online device where malware can be introduced to the setup. They've got their TapSigner and Sats card, which are NFC enabled cards. They're in like a credit card, debit card form factor. The TapSigner is a private key. It allows you to do really cool things, interact with mobile apps like Nunchuck. If you want to set up a single sig or multi-sig address and you want TapSigner to be the key there, it's very easy setup. It's a really cool party trick if you want to show people a cool way to send Bitcoin. Sats card is an iteration on the OpenDime, same form factor, but you tap it on the back of your phone, follow the link, the address associated with the private key on the Sats card pops up, you load it up with Bitcoin, then you hand it off to somebody. It's a great gift. Go to CoinKite.com, check out all these products. I own literally everyone I just talked about because they're that cool and that secure, and they're just really good Bitcoin products. If you want to secure your Bitcoin, definitely get the MK4. This trip was also brought to you by good friends at IVPN. Go to IVPN.net if you want to peruse the web with some privacy. IVPN is creating a VPN service built on transparency, built on open source apps. They don't take emails. They don't log anything. They own their own infrastructure. They're not leveraging cloud service providers like Google or Amazon. They actually own the bare metal, the servers that their VPNs operate on. They leverage WireGuard. I will actually be sitting down with Victor from IVPN for a TFTC interview tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that as well. And most importantly, they accept Bitcoin via BTC Pay Server. So if you want to purchase IVPN in a more private way than using a credit card or PayPal, obviously you can use Bitcoin. You can do that both on-chain and via the Lightning Network. So go to IVPN.net. and start using their VPN. I mean, it's fast, good UX, easy onboarding. It's a beautiful thing. IVPN.net. Enjoy this rip. I'm going to go eat. Tiki!
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
We had some good sets, Sprang.
This week. Are we live now?
We are live.
I'm gonna have my first beer of the day.
Like I just told you, you're catching me.
Oh, it just overflew everywhere.
Oh, the overflowing beer.
It was literally just sitting there.
Oh, well, like I just told you, and I will make the freaks aware now. You're catching me on the back end, an hour 46 of a 48-hour fast. I'm at that point where I'm teetering between like lucidity, very lucid thoughts, and flow, and just like wandering off into my mind thinking about the barbecue I'm going to eat in 2 hours.
Just keep ripping. I'm grabbing paper towels. They're right next to me.
Matt's got paper towels right next to him. We're here. It's almost 6 p.m., 3 minutes to 6 in the central time zone in the United States of America. Bit of a late rip today, but we are here as we are week in and week out. I just want to say I'm thankful to be here. It's been a great week at the Bitcoin Commons. I think I've done 3 TFTC rips this week. I got 2 more tomorrow. It's been a busy week, productive week. 2023 is going to be the year of production. Matt was just saying we're on the back end of a 30% rip, and it sounded like he was getting pretty bearish. So we'll have to get into that.
I'm still here.
Yeah, Matt thinks we've hit the 2023 high already.
I said that before we kept pumping. To be completely fair.
Yeah, you said that after last week's episode.
Honestly, bro, I'm all in. So if that's what it takes, if it takes me being bearish for the rest of this fucking run, I'm cool with it.
Just keep Caps Odell. Keep him in the cage, okay?
As soon as Caps Odell comes out, you have about 2 months to make sure you take any profits you need to take. I'm just kidding. When I stacking sats is taking profits. That's what no one realizes.
Yes. You're taking the profits of another blessed day to stack in an easy fashion.
I can't believe this beer was sitting here for like 30 minutes waiting for you guys to be ready and it still exploded.
Is it warm?
Not really.
I mean, I'll wait till the camera comes back on, but we're talking about Caps Odell. That's one of your alter egos. And I think the world was just introduced to another alter ego of Matt Odell, which is the walking interviewer. I told you in Signal the other day that this format suits you very well.
Like the walking interview?
I do. Let's, I mean, when you turn your camera back on, let's talk about, what is it? Freedom Money? It's just called Freedom Money, right?
Freedom Money.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
When did you do that?
It's been about 6 months in the making, 7 months in the making, which is, you know, way different for me than my usual let's rip it live and just immediately unedited post. This is like the exact opposite of that, right? So high production quality, you know, massive cameras in your face with big lights that overwhelm you. And I did it with Bitcoin Magazine. Huge shout out to the team over there that made it possible. At Cinemuck, Aaron was the producer and did all the filming and the audio. Guy's fucking amazing. And yeah, very excited about it. We recorded some great interviews with freedom fighters from around the world. And, you know, the goal is, this was kind of this was like a pilot series, but the goal is, you know, high production quality. The dream is to get on like a Netflix or one of the streaming services. And basically talk about the need and the power of a tool like Bitcoin without really saying the words Bitcoin that often.
Well, I got to say, the trailer gave me goosebumps. Number one, I was extremely proud
of you.
Thank you,
sir.
Number two, the production quality is extremely high, and I think it's going to be a very good series of content to point people toward in terms of explaining why Bitcoin is important. What was it like for you interacting with these freedom fighters?
I mean, that's always a super humbling experience working with activists. It's one of my favorite aspects of the different, all the different education efforts that I've been doing in the Bitcoin space. Working with activists is definitely one of the most rewarding, most humbling. I mean, these people put their lives on the line all the time. They put their families at risk. Their families are sacrificing. So it's just extremely humbling. I mean, some of the people, Bitcoiners will, you know, already know and have a ton of respect for, people like Gigi, Janine, Dario for Moon, Abubakar. But we also have, so the walking interview that you see in the thing is with Roya, who's amazing. We've talked about Roya in the past from Afghanistan. But we also did a great interview with this woman named Juher, who's a Uyghur activist. And she's actually anti-Bitcoin, pro-freedom, but anti-Bitcoin, particularly from the, I mean, I don't want too many spoilers, but a lot of ASICs are made with Uyghur slave labor. So we talked through that. That was an extremely emotional interview. The format was a little bit, I want the freaks to go easy on me. The format was new to me. It was definitely a way different. The cameras are intimidating.
Like I said, it suits you well. It suits you well from the clip that we have here, the preview. I think if
I almost walked into somebody on the walking part.
The rest of the series is like this. It suits you well.
Appreciate that, brother. But yeah, it was definitely a pilot. It's definitely a pilot series, and we hope to do more of them. A huge shout out. Bitcoin Magazine put this on without an external sponsor. They funded it completely. So really a lot of respect and support from them. Really do appreciate it.
Well, when can we expect the first of the series to drop?
They drop on YouTube every Wednesday, starting next Wednesday.
Okay.
Or starting this Wednesday. I hate the next versus this, but the upcoming Wednesday.
It's next February Wednesday. February 1st. This Wednesday was yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like bi-weekly all over again.
No, I mean, like the week is Monday to Sunday, and then next week is that Monday to Sunday. So next Wednesday. This Wednesday was yesterday.
Whatever you say. It's going to be February 1st, the Wednesday that's coming up.
Been a hell of a week. We're potty training in the Bent household.
Nice. Did you figure it out yet?
I mean, I figured it out. I've been potty training for quite a while. But my oldest, I'll tell one story, one potty training story, war story, if you will. Sunday, we're 2.5 days into the potty training. We're making progress. We went from 60% into the potty to 80% Friday into Saturday. Sunday, doing well, confident. It's got undies on. And I hear a yelp from the other room. My son is screaming, "Daddy, Mommy, come help me, come help me." I walk in, he's holding a turd in his hand. And it was a very, very chaotic moment in the house. I'm screaming there like, "Oh my God, he's got a turd in his hand." My wife comes behind me. She's like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "Put it down." She's like, "No, carry it to the toilet." It was, my wife was right. You should carry it to the toilet, wash your hands. Don't throw the turd on the ground. But
immediate reaction.
I was like, "Drop it." I was worried he's going to like put it on his face or something. But this is, This is the life with a 2-year-old approaching three years old. Potty training. Jevy's got some war stories too. Definitely don't win all the battles. But you gotta win the war. You gotta potty train your kid at some point. You can't have the kid wearing diapers in kindergarten.
What age does that start at?
It varies. Some people get on it earlier. I'll admit we were probably a little bit late to the party, but around 2.5, 3.
But the party's clearly here now.
Yes, it is. It is. It's an interesting experience. It's fun. It's getting better. So should we jump into it? We might keep this a tight rip, freaks.
Oh, yeah. By the way, freaks, the reason we're ripping later is because of my schedule. And huge shout out to Logan and Marty for being flexible here.
That's good. I got a Ben out. Actually, before we get to the dashboard, the Ben I wrote about, maybe we can debate this. Maybe it won't even be a debate, but we'll be agreeing. It was about the framing that CBDCs will be widely adopted because they'll be more convenient. I put forth the theory that they're not going to be more convenient. It's more convenient to use Bitcoin than a CBDC. And I think part of your walking interview when you're talking to Roya really highlighted that. And she was describing the power of being able to hold Bitcoin in your mind. It's very convenient.
Yeah, I don't. I think personal responsibility will always be the more will be the less convenient path. It changes a little bit when you talk about like stringent KYC and friction on that front. Because obviously if the personal responsibility path, if the sovereign path doesn't require all this KYC identification information and all the regulation and friction that comes with that in terms of closing accounts and stuff like that, it kind of it evens it out a little bit. But ultimately, like when you're talking about a CBDC rollout, I mean, I think it's more than just convenience, right? The convenience will be part of the selling point, at least external messaging. But I expect it to be mixed with, you know, some kind of helicopter money, stimmy checks kind of thing. You know, like you install the wallet. And we saw this in El Salvador, right? We talked about how the Chivo wallet is kind of what a CBDC rollout would look like if it was built on top of Bitcoin. And it's obviously it's clearly better in that it's interoperable with the global Bitcoin network and the global Bitcoin protocol. Like any Bitcoin wallet can interact with it. That's significantly better than a standard CBDC wallet. But what did they do when they released Chivo? They said, if you install Chivo and connect it to your government ID, you will get free $30 or whatever. And so we've seen this tactic many times with governments is you make your people poor, you disadvantage them left and right, and then you give them a small little handout to get them to do what you want them to do.
But isn't the data showing them not everybody that originally downloaded that Chivo wallet for $30, but a material amount of those Chivo users have migrated to other wallets that are more open?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's partly because the Chivo wallet is complete shit.
Yeah, it's inconvenient because the government's running it.
But I do wonder, right? So, like, one of the things we talk about a lot, and friend of the pod, Max is going to be releasing a CBDC documentary pretty soon that I'm pretty excited about. But one of the things we talk about a lot on the show is that a lot of the goals of CBDCs we kind of already see today through these, you know, different centralized payment apps and credit cards and whatnot. It's just not as efficient as efficient of an element of control and surveillance as a CBDC will ultimately be. But like if you use something like Venmo, your account can be frozen at will. You can have your transactions blocked. You can have your money seized. You can be blocked out from access. All of your transactions are obviously tracked. They're monetized and sold to advertisers. They're given to governments. They're stored insecurely. So like all those aspects of something like Venmo or a Cash App or something like that have similarities to CBDCs. They're just not as efficient. But if we went to one of our college friends who's not a Bitcoiner, they would tell you that using Venmo is extremely convenient and way more convenient than using Bitcoin. Now, there's nuance here because Venmo actually supports Bitcoin now and you can actually pay Bitcoin invoices using Venmo. But the point stands that most of them would consider Venmo more convenient than using Bitcoin, even though you have all those KYC friction kind of regulatory surveillance things implemented, right?
Agreed. And so this newsletter and this thought experiment that I've been running through all day stemmed from a conversation I had with Nico and Opti, our friends in the Simply Bitcoin podcast last night. And it got me thinking. I really had this like epiphany on the go as we were having the conversation. But I have been sort of loosely thinking about this in the background, which is, I think this gets back to like storytelling, because when you go through the user flow of onboarding to a Bitcoin wallet, you download, let's just use Blue Wallet as an example. You go to your app store, search Blue Wallet, download, and then within 2 minutes, you can spin up a wallet. It'll ask you to write down your 12 word seed phrase. You don't have to. It's highly recommended and encouraged, but for the purpose of this thought experiment, you don't have to. You can click next. I'll write it down later. And then you immediately hit receive, share, and you can receive money pretty quickly within 2 minutes. CBDC world, you go down that path. You download the CBDC wallet app. You're probably going to have to put in your name, your address, your social security number, date of birth, phone number, occupation, things like that. And then you're probably going to have to wait for verification. So the onboarding process, less convenient. And when you actually go to use, like the CBDC world that the unproductive class would like to thrust on us, like you go to actually spend that money and you're not going to be able to do it. Like you want to buy a ribeye on a Friday night to make a steak and you're out of your meat rations for the week and you get your transaction denied at the point of sale system. That is extremely inconvenient. And so the point of all this,
but I think you're mixing those two, like it, that's not, so that's goes, I mean, I think that goes along with the thesis that when people realize a need, they will seek out an alternative. But if that actual transaction isn't censored at that point, if they just swipe their credit card, right? That is, so in a Bitcoin world, right? Bitcoin is obviously extremely convenient to use. I think it's extremely accessible, extremely easy to use. I prefer to spend Bitcoin and receive Bitcoin whenever possible. Like, fuck wires, fuck all credit cards, surveillance. Like, I prefer to use Bitcoin. 100%. I live in a Bitcoin world already, right? We both do. The overwhelming majority of people still live in a fiat mindset. They will continue to live in a fiat mindset. And as a result, the inconveniences, the quote unquote inconveniences of using Bitcoin will be where it bridges between dollars and Bitcoin, right? And you see that today. Like, you don't, people, when people are saying Bitcoin is inconvenient, they're not saying, you know, installing Moon Wallet and just clicking get started and like going through those steps in 2 minutes and having a fully sovereign wallet is inconvenient. What they're saying is, then to actually move that Bitcoin to your bank account or, you know, spend it on fiat bills and stuff is the point of inconvenience, right? But if they're getting actively censored, then there's a need. And as a result, they're willing to go through the extra steps to use that tool.
Agreed. And so, again, the point of the newsletter and bringing this up now is really commentary on the framing that Bitcoiners are putting out there. And I mean, I think to an extent we're, I don't want to say guilty of this, but we've done this in the past where, and it is true. Like, so what I'm trying to get at is we have to weigh sort of the narrative around securing your private keys. Like when you talk about, like, again, downloading Blue Wallet, setting up a wallet, you can do it in 10 minutes. It's very easy. Yes, you have to secure your keys. And I think Bitcoiners have been arguing from a point of weakness where they sort of concede that people are going to believe that it's extremely inconvenient to use Bitcoin over the CBDC or Venmo, Cash App, whatever it may be, when we should really be putting the narrative like, no, this is easier in terms of like being your own bank, controlling your own money, simply downloading an app that allows you to send money to friends. Bitcoin software and applications are significantly easier and more convenient than the incumbents.
I mean, maybe, I guess.
maybe we shouldn't be bashing the incumbents as much. We should be highlighting the ease of use of Bitcoin. You download an app, within 2 minutes you can receive money on the Bitcoin network.
You can receive and send Bitcoin.
Yeah, money. Bitcoin being the money.
Yeah, freedom money.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's a bunch of different routes you can go with this. We want to talk about convenience, you know, and during a CBDC rollout, if Bitcoin starts to have real legs, private Bitcoin usage gets criminalized. Who knows if they can enforce it? I don't think they can enforce it at scale. I don't know. A lot of my normie peers from like college and high school or whatever, just the fact that it would be, if it was considered, you know, to use private, because here's the thing, I've talked about this many times, and we've talked about this on the show many times. Bitcoin's a tool, right? It's a tool that can empower individuals, but it's up to the individuals to decide how they want to use the tool, right? And the way I look at it playing out is I expect Bitcoin to be successful. I'm fucking all in on Bitcoin, obviously.
You are?
I expect Bitcoin to be successful, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the majority of people will be using it in a freedom money oriented way. There's a scenario where a lot of the usage is completely transparent, completely surveilled, completely controlled. Yes, they can't press a button to seize it. But all those transactions are reported to the government. They are, you know, censorship is enforced externally of the protocol. Essentially, like you go and buy guns or you go and pay for an abortion or something, then they hit you outside of the actual protocol. They can't stop the payment, but they hit you outside of the protocol. And most people just comply because they're scared of breaking the law. So there's that mix with a CBDC. And then you have, you know, like fully cucked usage on the CBDC that maybe is like 60%, 70% of the economy. And then you have like a large portion that's like cucked usage on Bitcoin. And then you have
us,
like a dozen people using it privately. I'm being overly dramatic, but you know, 10 million or 20 million people globally using it privately. You just saw 2020, man. I mean, was it convenient to close businesses? I just don't know if convenience is going to be what you see in the Super Bowl ad. This is the most convenient wallet ever, right? But it's the path to CBDC adoption is coercion.
Well, exactly.
Putting a gun to your head. That's how CBDCs actually are going to get adopted. No one's going to want to use the money otherwise. They have no choice, or they have a choice, but they consider they choose not to make that choice because of fear.
Agreed. And I actually mentioned that in the newsletter. Sure, the government may try to mandate CBDCs and attempt to make it so no one can transact without them, but I've got some news for you freaks. If that happens, you officially live in a tyrannical dystopian hellscape and you should be trying to overthrow your government. And even if it gets to that point, Bitcoin is still open source software and the gray/black market for goods bought with Bitcoin will boom harder than the U.S. economy in the 1920s. When your CBDC wallet rejects your ribeye purchase, you'll give the butcher the look and he'll whip out his Bitcoin wallet so you can facilitate the transaction outside the confines of the CBDC panopticon. So again, this gets back to like messaging and storytelling. That's what I think. That's why I think what you're doing with Freedom Money, with Bitcoin Magazine, is extremely important. Like, we need to get this type of storytelling out there, like paint a picture of the dystopian future that CBDCs will bring, and then engender a sense of confidence in people, like, hey, like, this isn't weird to feel that this is a bad progression of humanity. Like, don't feel afraid to stand up against this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree with that.
We just need to get that message out there. Again, it's like a framing, look, narrative, storytelling thing.
I know narrative is important. I mean, that's one of the reasons freedom money exists. and we put so much time into it. But I think ultimately where we're going is it's only going to get more and more tyrannical. It's only going to get more and more, you know, authoritarian across the world in terms of using the existing financial system, whether it's the current financial system, whether it's the evolution of it, whether it's full on CBDCs, using it to surveil and control people. That's going to increase. And then as that happens, people will, if they have real need, they will seek out the tools, they will seek out the education, and they will do it. But it's not a theoretical, even in America, it's not a theory. Like, we're seeing it right now with gun stores. I mean, they petitioned, they pushed, basically they used the centralized forces that be to push the credit card companies to start labeling gun store purchases. So if you go to a gun store and you pay with credit card, right now it's very obvious when you do that. And what's the next step? The next step is either, I mean, they're probably already doing the first step, which is building lists of people that are actually buying, going and shopping at gun stores, local gun stores, but they're also can start censoring at that point, right? And we saw Operation Choke Point, where they went after marijuana businesses and sex workers. So these things are already happening. They're escalating. And the thing is, like, if you want a sex worker and you can't pay with credit card, like, you will use cash. If you can't buy a gun with credit card, you will use cash, right? And it's almost a benefit when they full out ban it. The more dangerous situation is like a soft surveillance list system where they still allow you to do it and they don't just completely block your access. But as a result, they hurt you on health insurance, or they hurt you on this, or they hurt you on that. And they basically create like a soft censorship regime. And then people don't have that immediate, it's like a frog boiling, right? Where it's like soft. It's like we saw with KYC and Bitcoin, right? It's like everyone in 2013, 2014 was saying there's going to be an outright Bitcoin ban. Instead of an outright Bitcoin ban, what they did was they made sure that every on-ramp and off-ramp was heavily surveilled and captured. And as a result, there's way less pushback against it than if just all of a sudden you just weren't able to buy Bitcoin on Cash App.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with all that, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think if we fight the narrative battle correctly and ardently, like you are with freedom money, like we try to do with this show, I think that's the overarching thing I'm trying to get at, is like, how do we own the narrative and begin turning people like, oh, this is more convenient. The alternative is a hellscape. And yes, our normie friends may not get that now, but how do we get to our normie friends? Is there getting to them? I think it can be done.
So did I tell you the story about the horse track race? Did I say that on Rabbit Hole Recap? Did I even tell you this personally?
When I went to the horse track and the buddies? Yeah, we were talking about DLCs. I think we talked about this.
Yeah, Marty was like bullish on DLCs for betting. And I said to Marty, I was like, first of all, Marty, you're not a gambler. Second of all, I went to the horse track with my degenerate gambler friends. And horse tracks are historically majority cash businesses, right? They have full facilities set up to accept cash and do cash payouts. You have great by default privacy. Everything that they have built at that horse track is set up so that they can take cash payments and they can pay you out in cash. They have ATMs if you don't have cash on you that you can take it out. And all of them, what did they choose to do? They chose to sit in their chair and use the mobile app that was connected to their bank account that just tracked every single payment they made and every single bet they made and every single payout they made and just automatically reported it to everybody. Right. And
I still think I'm right here in a DLC world, especially on.
But why do they do that?
Because the convenience of the app.
Convenience.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can do that, like, I think you can build that same convenient user experience with the DLC app. Of course, the book would need enough liquidity, but it could get there.
I think centralized solutions will always be cheaper and more convenient, barring the KYC stuff. And that's why the key there is, you know, why is more gambling happening on the books than ever in American history? And that's because they softened all those regulations to get people into those apps. to get them into those apps, right? Like it was all black market, you know, KYC free cash stuff. And they made it super convenient. Link up your bank account, scan your face or whatever. And as a result, they got a ton of usage out of it. Right.
Yeah.
But I agree. I look, at the end of the day, Bitcoin is the most convenient. It's so much more convenient than a Venmo or a Cash App.
Yeah, we need to meme that.
Or a credit card. It's not even close. Or a wire. Like, fuck. Has a freak sent a wire lately or an ACH payment? It's fucking crazy.
I sent a couple today. It's not fun. It's not fun. Bitcoin is more convenient.
Although Mercury does make that kind of convenient.
Yeah, it does. Mercury Bank is a good bank if you're running a startup. Very good UX. But Bitcoin has better UX. All right, let's jump into it. Tangent there, supposed to be a short rip. We just
that was a long tangent.
We just went on a 30-minute tangent there, but
it's an important topic. I mean, it's something that we'll be covering a lot. Yeah. It should be interesting to see how the rollout happens.
Yeah, I don't think, and that's the other thing. Like, does it even get rolled out? It has in China.
But my point is like it's already here. Been.
Yeah,
it's just like, do they move to a more efficient system, and when do they do it?
Yeah, and how do they do that? Everybody go download this app.
I think it's going to be mixed with helicopter money. It makes the most sense.
Oh, yeah.
You get your automatic weekly stimmy. It just comes to your US wallet, whatever, your USD wallet.
Well, then that turns into inconvenience in meat space because you got to buy the goods and they're printing so much goddamn money that the price is running away from you.
Yeah, I mean, that's debasement, right? I don't know if that's a convenience argument, but I guess.
It's inconvenient not being able to buy the goods because the money doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right, Clark's dashboard. Price of Bitcoin currently is 22,970 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck's going to get you 4,354 sats. We're currently sitting at a 442.8 billion cuckbuck market cap. We are at block height 773,780. We are currently 364 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated to be on Sunday, January 29th. And right now it's looking like a 3% upwards adjustment. Blocks are coming in at 9 minutes and 42 seconds on average. If this holds, that'll be a new difficulty all-time high because we're currently sitting at a difficulty all-time high. there are currently 2,265 transactions in Clark's mempool and 6,726.58 bitcoins in unspent capacity in Samurai Whirlpool. That is 154.5 million cuckbucks in unspent value. Now we finally get to the list. A half hour in.
This is a short list. It was an important conversation.
It was. Blockstream raised $125 million to expand their mining operations.
Congrats to them and their team. Big raise. Most people don't realize, like, Blockstream has a fantastic research arm, and they employ top-tier developers that do a ton of work on open-source projects in the space. But they're primarily a mining business.
Yeah, I think that's the moneymaker.
At least revenue-wise.
Obviously, they have Liquid, a lot of the Core Lightning team is in Blockstream's company.
Shout out Bitcoin Lisa. Core devs.
Bitcoin Core devs. Like, they have
top level cryptographers over there.
They have Jade Wallet. Shout out to Blockstream for supporting the show via Jade Wallet for a little bit. What else do they have? At Blockstream.info. They have the satellite. I'm trying to think what else. There's definitely something else I'm missing. Obviously Liquid, we mentioned that. Yeah. They're going to be expanding their operations.
Green wallet on the phone. They have a fantastic block explorer, blockstream.info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to raise $125 million to deploy into mining, especially if you're going to scoop up cheap ASICs. They're pretty dirt cheap. I'm hearing rumblings behind the scenes of a lot of people going after the BlockFi bankruptcy mining assets. Bidding war going on. We'll see how low the highest bidder is able to get. $1 per terahash average price. Highest model or latest model machines is around like $12 to $15 right now. I'm sure it's trending upwards with this price pump. Get those cheap ASICs while you can, freaks. Anything else to add here?
Nope. Just congrats to their whole team over there.
Hell yeah. This launched. Shout out to Jack and the Strike team for announcing this a couple hours before RHR. Lightning is live with Clover. Strike is officially an integrated partner of the payments giant Fiserv. How do you say Fiserv?
Yeah, Fiserv. Yep.
And they've launched a first public pilot with Clover, which is a point of sale terminal. And Clover merchants can now accept cheaper, faster cash final USD over Lightning. I mean, it's Bitcoin over Lightning. It's settled in USD. And this is a pilot project. So they're piloting for 90 days, right?
So this is part of Strike Commerce, which Jack famously Mahler's announced at Bitcoin 2022. This is not their NCR Blackhawk partnership. This is a separate partnership. They're basically, you know, trying to integrate with as many providers as possible over there. So, I mean, a lot of the freaks might be aware of Clover. A lot of restaurants and other retail businesses use Clover. They can use it with like their iPad or their iPhone, or they also have like dedicated point of sale terminals. What's cool about Clover is Clover actually has a built-in app store. So it's up to the merchant to choose like what they want to enable on their Clover point of sale unit. So Strike built an app for Clover. And then the way the Clover app store works is you have to get at least one merchant onto the beta program. So they got this merchant in North Carolina onto the beta program. Other merchants can apply via email to be on the beta program. But now for 90 days, it stays in beta for 90 days. And then after those 90 days, if everything goes well, which is expected to, then it gets released into the wider Clover app store. And then any Clover merchant will be able to just, you know, download the Strike app on the thing, sign up for it. And then they can accept Lightning payments from any Bitcoin wallet that supports Lightning. And that can be a sovereign Lightning wallet, whether that's Zeus connected to your own node or a Phoenix wallet on your phone or something like Moon that does swaps into Lightning. Or it can be, you know, a regulated service like a Cash App, or I don't think Venmo offers Lightning yet, but something like along those lines, or like a Coin Corner or River or something. So, yeah, pretty cool. Good to see. I don't know if we covered it on Rabbit Hole Recap, but Jack released a post. If you haven't read it, at the end of last year, about feeling very responsible about the announcements that were made and how slowly everything's moving and that the bureaucracy is taking a lot longer. And now his focus is basically just keep on moving forward, keep pushing forward, and as new products come out, announcing them after they come out. So this is him practicing what he preaches there. And just really great to see.
Great to see. This is part of
and
slowly but surely making Bitcoin more convenient and obvious to people, you know?
Yeah, if like your favorite merchants in your town accept Bitcoin, then all of a sudden Bitcoin becomes a lot more convenient, right? Because then you don't need to go to an off ramp to convert back to your bank account. You can just buy a beer or buy groceries or buy whatever with Bitcoin directly. And because Lightning has, you know, there's a lot of nuance with Lightning privacy, but because Lightning has pretty good sender privacy, you're not leaking that much to the merchant, even if you're using it in a naive way, which is really great to see. When you're making a regular on-chain payment to these merchants, and if you don't know how to use Bitcoin with privacy best practices, you leak a lot of UTXO history. But all else equal, that's not the case with Lightning.
Yeah, it's great to see. Another thing to point out with this demo is the woman who's purchasing this glass of wine is using Cash App to pay the invoice presented by the Strike software on the back end. So this just highlights the interoperability of the Lightning Network. You can send. You can never send from Venmo to Cash App, but over Bitcoin, you can send from Cash App to a Strike-enabled point-of-sale system.
Well, now, Well, now that for the first time ever, now that Venmo supports Bitcoin withdrawals and deposits, and so does Cash App, you can actually send between Venmo and Cash App right now, just not over Lightning. It's just on chain.
Yes.
But still.
This is the fence garden that we described a couple weeks ago.
Right.
All right. Great to see. A lot of progress, a lot of building in the bear market. Next up, we got Fold, who just launched an enterprise rewards API, which is, this seems like a pretty big deal. Like any bank, card, or loyalty program that wants to offer Bitcoin rewards to their users will be able to leverage Fold's API to build that functionality in. It seems like it's opening the total addressable market for these Bitcoin-backed rewards to a massive audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think this seems like a big deal for both Fold and for Bitcoin adoption. The rewards have always been an interesting, we've talked about the rewards aspect for years now on this show, but it's an interesting way for people to dip their toes into Bitcoin. Americans, man, people love their rewards. There's, you know, millions of people that are basically just dedicated coupon cutters that are just like trying to stack rewards left and right. This opens up for, you know, a Costco or a Amex or someone to be able to easily just integrate Bitcoin rewards. So that could be pretty good. I mean, it just depends. It seems like they're making it very easy. And so it just, we'll see what adoption's like, right?
Yeah. Will Reeves' announcement tweet last week, he said they're lining up Fortune 500's top fintechs and credit card programs. So it seems like they got some B2B biz dev going on. We'll see who integrates the API. But yeah, be on the lookout for this.
From a number go up perspective, Sats back Bitcoin rewards are an interesting concept because it kind of weaponizes consumerism to increase Bitcoin adoption and as a result increase the purchasing power of Bitcoin. The more you spend, the more Bitcoin gets pulled off the market.
Yeah, and it's sort of a great intro for like the Bitcoin skeptics. It's like, hey, you don't have to buy Bitcoin if you're using this card that's integrated. The Bitcoin back rewards, you just want to see what it does over the course of a year or 2 years or how you can interact with it. Just toggle on the Bitcoin rewards and play around with it. You don't have to buy it. The money you're saving, just dump into it.
Yeah, you want to talk about inconvenient. How about airline miles? You know, like you only can use it with one airline. They're constantly devalued. Like Bitcoin's just a better reward system.
Yeah, 2022 was the year I decided to focus on airline miles because I started flying a lot more. Decided to pick American and try to build up those miles, and I just still don't know what to do with them.
It's a complete shitcoin.
Yeah.
In an inflationary environment, by the way, those corporate shitcoins tend to get devalued first.
This happened to Starbucks. Did you see that?
No, what?
The central bank of Starbucks cut the value of their rewards points in half.
There you go.
Within the last 2 weeks. I said, yeah, all those rewards, you're only going to be able to buy half as much as we said you were.
Yeah, you want to spend your centralized corporate shit coins ASAP. You don't want them. You don't hold on to those.
No, do not hold on to those. It's becoming apparent if you're running a Bitcoin exchange that's leveraging Prime Trust, you may want to hold on to your own money transfer licenses. Prime Trust, as of right now, seems like it's going to be cut from Texas at the end of this month due to problems with the MTL between Prime Trust and the state of Texas.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of different companies are using Prime Trust on two fronts. They're using Prime Trust as a banking partner, but also because Prime Trust holds a bunch of licenses and all the, in America, you have to have licenses for every state pretty much, or the majority of states, some states share. And as a result, they're completely beholden to Prime Trust. So, you know, it looks like Swan and Fold are both already messaging out. I mean, Swan actually has a post out. Fold has like, there's telling people in Slack it's going to happen. But at the end of this month, people in Texas will not be able to buy Bitcoin anymore. But they can still withdraw any Bitcoin they already own, is at least the messaging. But I mean, I would say like you should probably withdraw before then, because that just sounds like a risk I wouldn't be willing to take. You should probably withdraw always, not, you know, leave funds with these companies. But yeah, it should be interesting, because there's been a lot of mudslinging on Twitter and elsewhere about who relies on what. You know, we'll see who is, you know, affected by this and who's not affected by this in 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. Texas is the second largest economy in the United States. With a pretty large annual GDP.
If you want to talk about narratives, this is not Texas cracking down on Bitcoin usage. This is Texas cracking down on Prime Trust, and this is a Prime Trust issue. So Prime Trust needs to clean up their house if they want to get Texas back on the table.
Yeah, the way I understand it, Prime Trust is leveraging the Nevada MTL charter or something like that. I think
it's bigger than that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what affected, which was it, one of the Dakotas?
South Dakota, yeah.
Yeah, but this is different than that. This is this is Texas. My understanding is this is Texas saying, Prime Trust, you need to clean up your house. You don't qualify for our money transfer license until you do. In a lot of ways, I would say, look, it's not great having centralized third parties in general. They're security holes. And it's not great having centralized third parties built on top of other centralized third parties. Prime Trust works with a ton of different services in the space. A ton of different services rely on them. They custody a lot of Bitcoin and a lot of fiat. They actually, my understanding is the Bitcoin is held with Fireblocks, which also custodies a lot of shitcoins as well. They don't use native multisig. They use MPC, multi-party computation, because that way they can support shitcoins as well. So it's kind of this, you know, massive central point of failure and honeypot. So there's definitely a bright line that, you know, there's a benefit of it happening sooner rather than later, and kind of, you know, these companies all trying to be self-sufficient and have, you know, at least some ownership over their infrastructure.
Yeah. We have BTC pins in the comment. Didn't Strike add more OTC desks, so they may not be affected? I believe so, yes.
I don't want a Roger Ver video of myself to the freaks that might be familiar with Roger Ver and Mt. Gox. My understanding, and this is not an official statement by any means, but my understanding is Strike will be fine in Texas after this gets cut off.
All right, everybody go back and clip it just in case.
if you're in Texas, operate under the expectation that that's not the case. But my understanding is that Strike has everything in order and is not fully reliant on Prime Trust like some of the other services are.
Yes. So beware, freaks, beware. If you're a Texan freak like myself, this could be affecting you in a few days. I don't think it's going to affect me personally, but may consider exploring other options if you want to stack and you want to do it.
I'm reading
week.
The comments. What did Roger say? Hi, I'm Matt O'Dell, established Bitcoin advocate and investor. It was like he's got like the gun pointed at his head.
I've been hanging out at the Mt. Gox offices for the last few days, and I can assure you that everything is working well here. I have talked to the CEO of Strike, and he showed me the bank accounts, and I am fully confident that they have every Bitcoin they say they have.
See, Marty read it. I didn't read it.
He was in the news this week. Roger
owes $20 million to Genesis.
Roger
owes $900 million to Gemini.
Who owes $900 million to their users?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful shit show.
Do you think, I don't have that on the list, Genesis declared bankruptcy Thursday evening last week. Do you think they waited till Rabbit Hole Recap ended?
Probably.
So that they'd have the most amount of time between the next Rabbit Hole Recap? Do you think Barry intentionally did that because he knows we're on to him?
Yes, definitely. But didn't Gemini sort of force it? Aren't people pissed at Gemini because they sort of forced the issue and other creditors are a bit peeved? I think that's what I heard.
Look, I mean, the creditors are all battle royaling it, trying to get whatever money is left over. So every man for himself.
Good luck.
I thought he was going to push the Genesis bankruptcy longer. So
what'd I tell you? It's going to happen much quicker than people expect.
Well, now the bankruptcy process, we'll see how long the bankruptcy process takes.
Yes, that'll take a while, but I think the contagion into DCG and its sub-companies.
Oh, I don't know about that.
May happen faster than people expect.
Oh, the contagion.
Yes.
I still think DCG's fucked.
Yeah, same. CoinDesk is looking for a buyer. That was made public in the last week or two. Yeah, I don't see how they survive.
I mean, no one should buy CoinDesk.
I don't see how any institutional
capital. They have some good reporters. Those reporters should just go do other things and not stay at CoinDesk.
Shout out to Mark Hockenstein, the editor-in-chief at CoinDesk. He's a pretty rad dude.
I really like George Kaloudis, not related to Evan Kaloudis, friend of the pod.
Is George a friend of the pod now, too?
Yeah, George is also a friend of the pod.
All right, sweet. Beware, freaks. Contagion's not over yet.
I think DCG is absolutely fucked. I mean, did you see, like, they pledged collateral to Gemini of GBTC, and then Gemini liquidated it because they didn't pay their bills.
And then they put it in the MakerDAO.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, they, like, put it in the MakerDAO or some shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fuckery that happened. We'll see how this all unfolds, but
yeah.
Just straight. Yeah.
Crypto contagion still going on. Prime Trust. Looking a little
shaky. It's been a lot of days, and Barry Silbert still owes billions of dollars. So
I haven't seen one of those tweets in a while.
You're like, because now it's just like everyone knows.
Yeah,
when I was doing it, everyone was just FUDing Binance and CZ and all this shit, and like no one was talking about Barry, so I was just like, we gotta
shine the light over here.
Yeah, exactly. What's the point of the Twitter addiction if you don't?
I mean, I think you're
if you don't call out Barry when you fucked around.
I think your watch over the Gemini Genesis saga ended when Cameron put that tweet in the first line of his open letter.
Except that, like, Cameron and his brother are not absolved of here of responsibility.
No, like we said a couple weeks ago, this is them trying.
That's also why I stopped doing it, because it was important that Barry had the spotlight on him, but I also don't like the idea that it's being used to a degree that it's only Barry's fault and that no one else could have seen it coming.
Yeah, I'm like envisioning like a movie scene where you're just like outside of Genesis's office and you're just screaming, it's been 56 days since Gemini paused withdrawals for their earn users because Genesis owes them $900 million. And then the Winklevi twins walk up behind you and they're like, yeah, like, da, da. And you're like,
what,
no.
This guy said.
All right. Like we said, it's going to be a tight rip. We've got 10 minutes left. We are on to the software updates section of the show. But before we get to that, we got to read shout outs. We got one shout out this week, and it was requested that Matt read the shout out. So
I've never read a shout out.
I have not. So let's see what you got.
Okay. So before I read the shout out, I just want to say.
No. You can give a disclaimer after, not before.
I'm not allowed to give a disclaimer before?
No.
Okay. Shameless ad, but have Odell read it anyway. New York Bitcoiners.
Oh, give it some panache. It's an ad. Okay. You got to sell it.
Shameless ad, but have Odell read it anyway. New York Bitcoiners.
There we go.
Check out New York City's newest Eagles bar, PubKey, for the NFC Championship game this weekend. Kickoff is 3 Eastern. Go Birds.
That was good.
How's that?
That was good.
Okay. The Eagles can go fuck themselves. The city of Philadelphia can go fuck themselves. And I thought Tom and the PubKey crew were ride or die Giants fans, so I don't know what's going on here.
They are ride or die Giants fans, and they were in the PubKey Telegram group. They were talking a lot of shit. And we...
I expect Tom to cut the power to the whole bar rather than put the Eagles game on.
Nah, you gotta watch the Birds. Birds gonna win. The Birds! Fucking pushed their dicks in last week. I can't believe the Giants thought they were going to come into Philly and actually have it have any shot of winning that game.
I'm pretty sure Arbidu sent that shout out.
I mean, I wasn't going to dox him. I told you I don't know for sure. I was just assuming it was him.
I'm just guessing. Our favorite Frenchman. That was the most depressing game. That was a really sad game.
It was an incredible game. It was so funny to watch. God, you guys thought you had a chance. All right, on the shout-outs. Shout-out to you freaks, or on the Boostergrams. I want to shout-out to you freaks. I think, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure. I was pulling from my memory, which may be a bit foggy, since I'm now 47 hours into this 48-hour fast. But this might be the most boost, most sats one episode we've ever been boosted. So
thank you, freaks.
Thank you, freaks. User 54916039347207 150,000 sats. You helped me reform a couple of years ago from being a shot coiner. I think you meant to say shit coiner. I've gone deep.
Maybe you drink a lot of shots.
I've gone, yeah, maybe. Yeah, if you're off the booze, good for
He's
you.
He's sipping now. He's a sip coiner.
Sipping and staring. I've gone deep and run a bunch of ASICs. Thank you both. Dennis in California. Mandibles was incredible, Matt. Marty, just do the Audible book. I might do it now. Dennis, I'll read the audiobook or I'll listen to the audiobook for you. At HGW39, 100,000 sats. Greetings, Matt and Marty from New Zealand. Thanks for the solid signal every week. It reaches us loud and clear down here in New Zealand. Shout out. A free Bitcoin intro evening at the World Bar in Queenstown at 6 p.m. on January 28th. So that's tomorrow for you New Zealand freaks. I believe it's already the 27th where you are. Again, that is
they live in the future.
A free Bitcoin intro evening at the World Bar in Queenstown. See details at acceptbitcoinnz on Twitter. Muchas gracias. At acceptbitcoinnz if you want the details. Shout out to our Kiwi freaks. Is that what we call them?
Yeah, that's what we've always called them.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about them, we always call them our Kiwi freaks.
Shout out to our Kiwi freaks down there.
Appreciate you, Kiwis.
Yes. It's nice to see you guys got Jacinda out of your lives, but it seems like the person coming in after might be just as deplorable. So,
as is tradition.
Sorry for that. At user 50266361980129689, 90,000 sats. Sending my appreciation from Gilbert, Arizona. You have provided years of listening, entertainment, and knowledge. Keep grinding and stay humble at BTC Golfer 25. You should make that your fountain name too, just so I don't have to read the user. But thank you at BTC Golfer.
No, everyone keep the default user generated name so that Marty has to read out the full name.
Don't have to read out an app generated username this time. Shout out to our good friend Mike at NatGas Immersion. 80,000, 85 sats, a nice boobs boost. To end the week here, sup freaks. Shout out to all you freaks boosting streaming sats via podcasting 2.0, the value for value model. If you guys are getting value out of this show and sending it back, we greatly appreciate it. It seems like last week you guys got a lot of value out of the show. It was the most boosted episode we've ever had. Let's keep the momentum up. Let's keep the momentum up. I was checking through the week. I was like, damn. 150,000 says, damn. Another 100,000 says, damn. 90,000 sats, damn. A boobs boost. Gotta love the boobs boost.
Thank you, freaks. We appreciate you. Do you know who sent the PubKey one?
No, I really don't, but I have, and I think it was Arbido too.
Our, one of our favorite boomers, Away Slice, Beefsteak Josh, reached out to me on how to send a boost because he restarted the New York City Bitcoiners meetup. And reading through the boost, it looks like he completely failed at accomplishing that.
He didn't even like get it like below the top four.
I don't know. I was just scrolling through. But anyway, New York City Bitcoiners is a long established meetup group that was started by Pierre back in the day. People meet for drinks. That was before we had a bar that was a Bitcoin bar that doesn't accept Bitcoin in New York called PubKey. But now they're going to be hosting their meetups there. So if you type in New York City Bitcoiners into meetup.com, you can find out more information or follow Josh on Twitter for his amazing takes at Away Slice.
Go to the New York City Bitcoiners meetup. I used to have a lot of fun doing that. It's always a great time. And while we're shilling,
when is PubKey's going to be showing fucking birds games before they accept Bitcoin? What the fuck is this noise?
All right, I will come to PubKey's defense here, even though Mitch talks shit on the Eagles. A little birdie told me that Bitcoin payments are coming very soon.
I don't understand why they don't accept Bitcoin payments if it's the more convenient option.
Imminently.
You heard it here first, freaks. It's a more convenient option.
Well, they're not
choosing inconvenience.
They're not running Clover, so they can't use Strike yet. They had to come up with their
BTC Pay on an iPad.
They're figuring it out, okay? PubKey management. I hope you're hearing me come to your defense here. And you keep the birds game on Sunday while we're shilling events.
You need to accept the cuck bucks for all the Philly fans.
Duly noted. Hashtag noted. We've got an event here in Austin, Texas on March 17th. That is the Bitcoin Takeover, South by Southwest. Comes to the city every year. It's a 2-week event and they don't have a lot of Bitcoin content. So we here at the Bitcoin Commons have decided to throw the Bitcoin Takeover. We had the first one last year where Matt
fucking
had an
awesome,
incredible interview with Andrew Polstra. We have another one this year, again, March 17th. Only selling a limited number of tickets. We have early bird tickets. We're only going to be giving away 50 of those. And they are $200 right now. You can pay. The Commons is accepting Bitcoin. You can pay in Bitcoin if you want to.
They figured out how to do it.
We've been around longer, okay? go to bitcoincommons.com if you want to sign up for that.
Yeah, no, the lineup looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, and go to the event calendar 5 to 17.
It's going to be an awesome event. It looks like HRF's doing an event. You can go down for Bit Devs as well. Lit Devs.
Bit Devs, Lit Devs. The Pleb Lab guys are going to be doing a hackathon, I believe. Logan's nodding his head yes. Logan, tell us about the hackathon.
It's a hackathon featuring the most interesting pleb in the world.
Who's that?
Not me, but I'm his narrator.
You do have the God voice. What are the
Craig Wright sued himself after meeting him.
Nailed it.
What are the dates of that? Is that all week?
I don't remember.
God damn it, Logan.
You guys
God
have to get better at showing your shit.
One
man.
Fucking job. Just remember shit.
Well, so go to pleblab.com, right?
Yes.
Go to pleblab.com. It's going to be a great week in Austin, Texas, the week of the 17th. 17th is the Friday. The events will start earlier that week on the 12th. The 13th.
And then while we're shilling shit, it's free and open source week at Bitcoin Park, week of February 5th. Come join us. Great group of devs coming in.
Going to be a good time.
Bitcoinpark.co.
On to software updates. Tails version 5.9.
Do you see BTC pins? There is no Logan. Marty is a ventriloquist. That would be impressive.
It would be. It would be. I have no experience with ventriloquism.
Ventriloquy?
Ventriloquy? I don't know. What is that word? What does a ventriloquist practice?
We'll never throwing know. Their voice.
We'll never know. Tails version 5.9 is out. Apparently version 5.8 affected many of you so badly, so they had to update the version 5.9.
How good are those release notes? Marty, that was Marty reading verbatim the release notes.
Yeah, they said, we are sorry that Tails 5.8 affected my AP so badly. So they upgraded to 5.9.
Well, Tails is a great project.
So be aware. LNBits version 0.9.6 has been released. Fusion 45. It's named in honor of the great Fusion 44, a longtime LNBits contributor who also contributes to many other free and open source projects in the Bitcoin space. Thank you, Fusion, for helping make LNBits the great software it is today. I've actually been diving more into LNBits, particularly to figure out how to implement like Sats-enabled super chats on the live stream. They have this cool plugin.
They have so many cool fucking plugins. The whole thing is cool plugins.
Yeah. Stream Copilot is one of them that would enable
that.
Yeah,
huge shout out to Ben Ark and Kali and the rest of the contributors over at LNBits. It's a pretty cool project.
Was Kali the one who created Cashew too?
Yes, correct.
I've been playing around with that this week. It's really cool.
The non-federated Charmian Mint.
Yeah, but it really, I've actually been talking about it. Some of the guys in the comments this week have been testing it out, and it seems like the way that these mints are going to be set up is when you get the tokens, they're going to be in powers of two. So you get one token, two tokens, four tokens. What's after that? Two to the third. Eight tokens, eight. 16. I can't do it. I haven't done exponents in quite a while. But
dude,
anyway.
Just double it. You just keep doubling it.
Yeah, you keep doubling. The 16, 32, 64.
128.
128. 256. 512. 512.
1024.
2048. When you create tokens via these mints, you get the tokens and powers of two. And we see, like, it seems like the privacy tools or the way it seems like. If you use a mint and you mint hop and come out another end, the privacy benefits are going to be pretty significant.
Yeah, your anonymity set is essentially everyone else who uses the mint.
Yes.
Now, you know, the biggest issue, one of the biggest trade-offs with Charmian mints is there's no rug pull protection. Like, it's completely custodial relationship. And it's not just like a blatant rug pull. You can also inflate the supply within the mint. So you can do a soft rug pull where you're just essentially inflating the supply of the mint for years and years and years and no one realizes, which is why the federated concept came to be with Charmian mints, this idea that you could have essentially a multi-sig custodian. So they would have to collude together to inflate or rug pull you. And I think that's a really beautiful trade-off balance. But I have to say, like, fucking Cali just like took it on his shoulders and just shipped Cashew really quick. Like, we gave him a grant through OpenSats. Well, it was Strike funded it. HRF held the money. OpenSats board awarded it and it went to Cali. And just truly impressive. This guy just fucking shipped. But yeah, I mean, I already battle with federated custodians, multi-sig custodians, and I think it's a pragmatic trade-off because people are going to use custodians anyway, and you get fantastic privacy and usability benefits. But single-sig custodians are just such a recipe for fucking disaster.
Yeah, and I think Cali would even admit this is just like a proof of concept to get people playing with it.
I mean, the single biggest thing, I mean, at the very least, Cashew has completely lit a fire under the Fediment project to ship quicker and move quicker.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to see.
I mean,
that's the power of FOSS. Like, Cali shipped it, and then just people just been iterating on top of it. You can now send, like, to a Nostr key because it's just a public-private key pair. You can just send them tokens. Pretty fucking cool watching their project unfold.
Yeah. If you guys want to test it out, you can go to nutstash.app, nutstash.app. No, but the user experience was just similar, like, light bulb moment from when I tested out Fluttermint, which was the Signet application.
Also a single sig custodian, but yes. It was on the Fetterman team.
But like the onboarding to this, these mints over Lightning is incredible. You literally point, click, send. Like I can show you my wallet now. I've got like 105 Satoshis that I've been playing with in this mint.
Well, you have 105 sats worth of IOUs.
Yeah, sats worth of these tokens. But yeah, you can see. Just want to make sure I don't have anything up here. You can see.
What, is that a Pornhub tab?
Yeah, right. Telling you, freaks, drop porn from your lives. I used to be a coomer. It's not worth it. You can see, yeah, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 tokens denominated 4, 1, 4, 32, 64. There's going to be some interesting privacy benefits to this. And again, yes.
I mean, it's a really cool privacy tool. And I think, yeah, you want to talk about convenience, right? It's like we will like argue back and forth about like all these different tools, right? What's open source? What's this? What's that? And then a non-open source custodial single sig wallet that can see everything you're doing and rug pull you at any time. Wallet of Satoshi has just had massive success with users because it's just extremely convenient to use. So if we can have wallets that are very convenient to use, but also give you strong privacy from the custodians and reduced rug pull risk from the custodians, I think that's a massive improvement. And we'll see at scale a lot of people end up using it just because of convenience.
Yeah, it's extremely convenient. Got to make sure you can trust those federated custodians, though. From a privacy benefit, you're looking like get in for privacy alone. I mean, the likelihood of you getting rugged while you're trying to attain.
Well, no, that's an issue, right?
Because UTXO break, timing analysis and all that. I was talking to Tony about it this week, but
timing analysis.
Yeah. You could do it successfully within a week, I think. Just hope you don't get rugged in that week.
There's this freak, Don't Trace Me Bro, on Twitter. I think he's at Don't Trace Me Bro, but his handle is untraceable. But anyway, he did like a Zcash analysis. And so like it was Litecoin's Mimblewimble, right? Which is an optional privacy tool that you can use. And like he charts it, right? And like you see, it's like 1,000 Litecoin go into Mimblewimble. Like the total Mimblewimble amount goes up to 1,300 Litecoin or whatever. Then like 3 weeks pass and then like 1,000 Litecoin leave Mimblewimble, goes back down to 300. It's like, that's the same fucking person.
Yeah.
Right. And now that's obviously an extreme situation, but that's what timing analysis is, or that's amount analysis. But timing analysis is like, if 3 equal amounts all go in to a Fedimint or a Charmian Mint or a Mimblewimble sidechain or something, or CoinJoin on every Wednesday at 5 p.m. or something, that would be a timing analysis. Or
yes.
Transactions that all get sent out and they're all processed in the same block, more likely to be the same person if they share similar characteristics attached to it, which is one of the reasons why Bitcoin as an open ledger, a transparent chain, it's important for people to start understanding how to use it in a private way and like the different trade-offs and the different characteristics and the different heuristics that they're leaking out before they absolutely need it, because it takes a lot of time. You can't just like use Bitcoin privately just instantly, especially for larger amounts. Like you need to be prepared. You need to get comfortable. You need to use it over time. Otherwise timing analysis will completely fuck you.
What was the wallet that was implementing timing analysis tools? Like you could basically say, hey, I'm looking to move these Bitcoin to this address. Like, can you randomize when they're sent there or to these
6102
addresses?
Bitcoin had like a command line tool that was doing that before he went dark. Yeah. But it never, it was like in beta. It was like an early beta. But yeah, I mean, that would be great. Like if there was a wallet that just allowed you to, you know, schedule payments and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like do if this, then that kind of situation.
Yeah. It'll come. That's all we got for the list. I didn't even realize that you were self-promoting on the back end of the list with Freedom Money, but that's the last thing on the list.
No, Logan put that on the list, not me.
Yeah. Really?
No, I put it on the list.
Would like to improve my shill of Satspy, though.
Go for it.
No, you had one chance, you blew it, and maybe you can try again next week.
That car's never going to let him live it down if he doesn't.
Yeah, it's March. It's March 17th to 19th, and you can go to satsx.dev to find out more.
Okay.
You had such a bad show the first time.
Yeah, you said it was in the beginning of the week. You sent them to the wrong the wrong website.
I'm glad we corrected that.
What's the website again?
It is satsx.dev.
Satsx.dev.
Satsby.
And literally everything PlebLab does is copyright infringement.
Pretty much, yeah.
They like specialize in it. They have SNL. They have ABC.
ABC.
They have PBS.
I mean, I can't talk.
Sats by Southwest.
This used to be. We're just TFTC now. Nobody ever call the interview series Tales from the Crypt again.
Yeah, I mean, I also ended every dispatch with fucking the first like 60 dispatches ended with music that would just get me immediately flagged on all the platforms. So I also cannot talk.
Yeah. Jevy's saying the Bitcoin takeover should have been called Sats by Sats West, but the Pleb Lab guys got that one.
There you go.
Jevy.
I like Bitcoin takeover. It's a good name.
We're taking over South by Southwest, Jevy.
It has really good SEO. If you search on DuckDuckGo or Google, it comes right up.
Jevy, are you going to be in town for that?
Of course he's going to be in town for it. Dang.
He just said dang.
Guess not.
All right, what should we wrap it up with?
No, I mean, it was a great rip. I'm not going to say why, but I would like to wrap it up. I got an early morning tomorrow. I'll say that.
Well, you go. Get a good night's rest. Wishing a great morning upon you.
Marty, is the bottom in for 2023?
No, I'm not letting you do this to me. I'm not. I've learned from P Clown World.
Just repeat after me. Hi, my name is Marty Bent.
Hi, my name is Marty Bent.
And the bottom is in for 2023.
And the bottom is in for 2023.
There we go.
You guys can't see
your first streaks.
You can't see his Matt's left arm, but it's under the desk. It's got a gun pointed at me. We're actually in the same room right now. All right. Tight rip. We'll be back next week. It's a good one. I'm going to go eat. I've got 45 minutes, so I've got to figure out what to do between now and then.
Much love, freaks. Much love, Marty. Much love, Logan. Stamble stack sets.
Peace and love.